En la W, el cine. Al premio Oscar de la Academia y nos vamos ahora para una categoría fascinante, la edición de cine. Están escuchando la banda sonora del maestro Hans Zimmer, y que es donde viene el talento de nuestro invitado Mark Mangini. Este hombre comenzó en los estudios de Hanna-Barbera. Tiene 150 películas con su nombre. 5 veces nominado al Oscar. Entre ellas Blade Runner. Pero la película que ya le dio el Oscar fue Mad Max en 2016. Ahora llega con una película espectacular en sonido. Se llama Dune. Es una película de ciencia ficción que tiene a Javier Bardem, a Zendaya, a Rebecca Ferguson, entre otros. La banda sonora de Dune es del profesor Zimmer y esta es una de las mejores películas de 2021. Hoy, Dune tiene 10 nominaciones al Oscar de la Academia. Mangini es reconocido por grabar y editar una nueva pista del rugido para Leo en The Lion, la mascota del león de la Metro Golden Mayer. Se usaron sonidos de tigres para tal efecto. Ana, por favor, salúdelo y pregúntele si está preparado para recibir su segundo Oscar, ya muy pronto.
Mr. Mangini, thank you very much for your time at W Radio today. And we want to begin by asking you, congratulate you and to ask if you're ready to receive your second Oscar next month.
Oh, please. don't say that. That's going to jinx it. But yes, I am ready if I am that fortunate.
Pues Julio, si está listo, si él es afortunado, pero dice que no nos anticipemos.
A mí me gustaría saber cómo ha sido recrear el sonido de esta película de ciencia ficción, sonidos de cosas que incluso no existen. Vemos en la película helicópteros que vuelan como si fueran libélulas, o por ejemplo la arena, que es un elemento protagonista de esa película, y que vemos cómo se mueve como las olas del mar haciendo ese sonido. ¿Cómo ha sido recrear el sonido de estos elementos que no existen?
Mark, how has it been to create the sounds of these objects and scenarios that don't exist in real life, at least not for the regular of us? Like, for example, that helicopter that flies like an animal, or the sand that moves like if it was an ocean. How was the process of creating these sounds that, you can't replicate them because they don't exist?
That's correct. And that is the joy and the pleasure in sound design, in narrative filmmaking, because for me, I get to play. I get to be a kid and use my imagination and wonder, what should those things sound like? But of course, it all starts with a discussion with our director, Denis Villeneuve, who effectively gives us an architecture, a framework to work within that helps guide us towards how we might create these sounds. So, for example, in our first session with the director, Denis Villeneuve, he indicated that he wanted the film to sound grounded in a reality that we recognize. He wanted the sounds of things we've never seen before to sound familiar, for lack of a better word. And that meant that our approach should follow a methodology that did not lean on exotic sounds or electronic sounds or synthetic sounds. It meant that the places to begin looking for the sounds that we would use should be in acoustic recordings, sounds that you could actually put a microphone out and capture in the real world in a real acoustic space. And in fact, at the end of a year and a half of designing this film, we would discover that of the 3,200 original sounds that we designed for the film, sounds that include the ornithopter and the worms and the shields and the voice, those sounds were made out of entirely organic sounds, so much so that only four sounds in 3,200 were made by electronic means, meaning with synthesizers or some electronic device. What that yields is a sound that feels familiar to the ear because we're only using things that you've actually already heard in real life.
Nos dice que es correcto lo que pregunta Laura, porque ese es el encanto y el placer de crear sonido para este tipo de narrativas, que él puede jugar, ser un niño, usar su imaginación y pensar cómo sonarían esas cosas si en realidad existieran. Fue a partir de una discusión con el director también que le dio la base y la guía de cómo crear esos sonidos, el director Denis Villeneuve, que dice que quería esos sonidos, pero que fueran familiares, que fueran sonidos de cosas que ya habíamos visto, que sonara familiar. Entonces utilizaron ese enfoque y siguieron esa metodología para crear los sonidos. Con eso se basaron en que no fuera un sonido sintético o electrónico, sino que fueran sonidos más bien acústicos que se capturen en la vida real y que las personas hayan escuchado en la vida real. Entonces, al final del año y medio diseñando la película, de los 3,200 sonidos que diseñaron para hacer esta película, ya sea para los gusanos o los otros elementos que habían de la película, todo eran sonidos absolutamente orgánicos. Solo cuatro eran electrónicos, hechos con sintetizadores y ese tipo de efectos. Así que la mayoría de sonidos se sentían como familiar al oído.
Y al hilo de lo que nos está contando, señor
Mangini. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead with the example.
Only just I'll give you one example. So for example, there is no such thing as a sandworm. This is a fictional, a science fiction creature. And I needed the sound of the worm coming up from under the sand and sucking down the spice crawler into its gut, into its stomach. And, of course, I can't go to the desert and record a sandworm. So the next best approach is to do it myself. So, in fact, I took a microphone and I put it down my throat and made a large sucking noise like that. And I took that sound, brought it into my studio, and then enlarged it to make it feel and sound the size of a creature that is, in fact, 400 meters long. So often we have to create these sounds out of smaller sounds, real acoustic sounds that have a similar envelope, and then treat them to match something that we see on screen.
Bueno, por ejemplo, estos gusanos de arena que uno ve en la película que se mueven alrededor del desierto son, por supuesto, una criatura de ciencia ficción. Eso no existe y ellos tenían que crear un sonido para cuando este gusano salía de la arena e iba a capturar o tragarse algo. Así que él lo que hizo fue tomar un micrófono, ponérselo en la garganta y hacer ese sonido de como si se estuviera tragando algo. Lo puso en el estudio y lo amplificó, como adaptarlo a una figura, a un gusano, una criatura de 400 metros de largo. Entonces fueron crear esos sonidos pequeños desde estas creaciones, como ponérselo en la garganta y luego tratarlos para adaptarlo a la figura que uno ve en la pantalla.
He escuchado otra anécdota que quería que nuestro invitado, señor Mangini, nos confirmara, y es que en la película se ve a un pequeño ratón del desierto. Me gustaría que me confirmara si es cierto que el sonido de ese ratón es realmente la grabación real de una ardilla, de un bebé ardilla.
There's another rumor coming from the sounds of your movie, and this is the sound of the desert mouse. And they say that the sound, the recording of this sound, actually came from a real chipmunk. Is this true?
That's a wonderful story. Yes, it is true. We were attempting, the desert mouse is not a real creature. It was created by Frank Herbert, the writer. And we wanted to create the vocalizations of this mythical creature by manipulating other sounds. So we were experimenting with hamsters and guinea pigs and other small rodent-like real creatures and then manipulating those sounds to make the desert mouse. We weren't having the success we wanted until one day our film editor, Joe Walker, was on YouTube and came across a very compelling video capture by Danny Connor, who is a nature photographer who lives in Europe. And she had stumbled across a family of abandoned red squirrels. And she put her microphone right up close on this one baby squirrel and captured the most compelling sounds we've ever heard before. They were actually sounds we had never heard before. And Joe Walker sent that video, that YouTube video, to me, and he said, "You think this could work for the desert mouse?" I was so smitten with those sounds that we literally put them in the film without any processing or touching at all. Those are the sounds exactly as Danny Connor recorded them in the wild.
Es una historia maravillosa y es absolutamente cierta, porque este ratón del desierto, que obviamente es una criatura ficticia que elaboró el escritor de la película, querían crearle esta vocalización para la figura mítica y manipularon otras criaturas y otros animales para poder adaptarlo. Trataron con hamsters y otros animales, pero no les daba el sonido perfecto, así que encontraron y se toparon, específicamente el editor se topó con un video en el YouTube de una familia de ardillas, un video de una familia de ardillas abandonadas, y pues le mostró ese sonido y pensó que era perfecto, así que grabaron el sonido de las ardillas y ni siquiera lo manipularon porque se encajaba perfecto en lo que querían plasmar en este rato del desierto.
Quería que nos hable del director, de Denis Villeneuve. Ya ha trabajado con él en varias ocasiones en películas donde el sonido es uno de los grandes protagonistas, como La Llegada, Arrive, The Blade Runner, o ahora en Dune. ¿Qué es lo más satisfactorio a nivel de sonido de trabajar con este director?
I want to speak about your relationship with the director, Denis Villeneuve. You've worked with him in the past, and in his films, this is not the first time that sound is so important. We saw this in Blade Runner, and also other movies. So you wonder, what is the magic, what is the mystery about working in these films that you work with Mr. Villeneuve, but that the sound is so important?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Thank you for asking that, because that really is the secret to the success of the sound of Blade Runner and Dune. Those are the two films I've worked with Denis Villeneuve on. The real secret to it is that Denis is a consummate collaborator. He believes that everyone that's part of his team has a dramatic impact on the quality of the story that he's telling, and he allows everyone in that circle to tell stories with the tools that they have. He empowers us in sound to not only use sound as a narrative tool, not simply a tool to, if you see something on the screen, you should hear something, but to use sound in a way that tells the audience a story. He encourages that. But more importantly, I would say, the secret to that collaboration is that Denis recognizes that sound and any artistic endeavor needs the opportunity to fail. And he gives us ample time and money and resources to experiment and fail, and we do fail. But it is in that failure where we discover success, because he knows that we are constantly working towards a solution together to find the optimal sound for his films. So unlike most films, even here in Los Angeles, we come on often during pre-production. Sometimes even on this film, we consult about the script. We are brought on during production, which is unheard of in most filmmaking. And we are designing sound as he is filming and as the editor is editing, and the sound has the opportunity. Oh, and by the way, Hans Zimmer is doing the same thing. So during that very nascent phase of the creation of a film, as it's being captured, as it's being filmed, we are auditioning and creating sounds, and sometimes it is sound that drives the edit, and sometimes it's sound that drives the VFX instead of the other way around. Normally, in sound. We are in what's called post-production, yes. And we are what I call reactive. We wait for the imagery to come to us, and we respond to it. In the Denis Villeneuve universe, we are proactive. We are generating sounds from our imagination and asking the editor and the visual effects team and the composer to respond to what we are creating and say, that's great. That gave us an idea that we hadn't even thought of. Let's go in that direction. And that really is the secret to working with Denis Villeneuve.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure talking to you today, and good luck.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Bueno, nos dice que es una pregunta absolutamente hermosa, Laura, porque el secreto de Blade Runner, en la película con la que también trabajó Denis Villeneuve y esta Dune, el secreto de colaborar con él es que deja que su equipo tenga absoluta libertad para hacer lo que quieran hacer, usar las herramientas que tienen, estimula a las personas a que hagan su trabajo de la manera más creativa y no solo usar el sonido como una herramienta narrativa, sino también que se reconoce el sonido como una oportunidad de fracasar, y en esos fracasos se encuentra el éxito y encuentran el sonido óptimo a medida que se hace la película, así que ellos también pueden aportar en la edición de la película, y por eso es tan exitoso esta colaboración con el director del filme.